In verse number 9, he said, "And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, instead of going on and saying, and deliver them out of all of his afflictions." He said, "But God was with him." Amen. What a testimony. What a testimony that Joseph left because of the way he responded to the things that came into his life. I want to talk to particularly our young people tonight, but this is for all of us. Okay, it's just for all of us. But I look across our congregation and God's really been speaking to my heart about the next generation, about young people. I want to invest in their life. I believe that you do. I want the ministry that's here at Fellowship Baptist to really get a vision and a focus on impacting the next generation. Certainly we want to continue to reach our generation, the generation that was before us, those that are getting ready to pass off the scene. I don't believe that God's through with that generation. That generation has certainly greatly impacted my generation. And I want the generation that God has brought me through and up in to be able to impact the next generation. And I believe that I speak to a group of people that do as well. But now, how are we going to do that? Well, I want to talk with you about that. Okay? Here's a testimony of a man, and his testimony was that God was with him. That's the testimony. That's when Stephen was thinking about Joseph, it just kind of narrowed down. Here it is right here. When he thought of Joseph, he thought, man, God was with that man. I wonder when people think about me, when I'm long gone, you, when you're gone, will they be able to say that? When your name is brought up in a circle of individuals, when conversation begins to strike up about you as a Christian, about you in your life, a lot could be said, but I really don't know that anything greater could be said about a person than what was said about Joseph right here. God was with that man. God was with him. Now, just a casual reading of the scripture will show why Stephen came to that conclusion. Because God was with that man. And it's obvious to see that in himself, Joseph could not have responded. Now, he had a choice. Don't you misunderstand me. We all have choices to make. Every day, it's staggering how many decisions and choices that we are forced to make. I mean, they're just forced upon us. We have to make decisions to get to from where we are to where we're going and get through the day. Hundreds of decisions every day. And I pray that you make the right ones, and I want to make the right ones. But now, what's going to keep the dream alive? What's going to keep the dream alive? What's going to keep somebody doing God's will? What's going to get somebody interested in God's plan? Well, this man was known as a man that God was with. Let's go back and take just three things, all right? Go back with me into Genesis 37. And in Genesis 37, we'll pick up there. I read some interesting things about Joseph the last couple of weeks. One of the things is the story of the life of Joseph covers about 14 chapters in the book of Genesis. Now that in itself is staggering. I mean, when you really look at, you've got Adam, the first man, okay? You have Abel, the first martyr. Eve, a person that was made from a rib. You've got the creation of the universe. You have Abraham, the father of the faithful. You have all of these characters, and yet you come to this man, Joseph, and there's 14 chapters dedicated to this man's life story. Now, there's got to be a reason for that. And I've written down a few. Now, I'm sure there's many more, but these are just some things that, as I thought about Joseph and And there's really, these are just thoughts that came to my mind. I want to share them with you. You probably have some. I thought about this. I thought about what Stephen, as he was preaching, as he was trying to lead into how that the children of Israel were in bondage and under the affliction of taskmasters, it was imperative that he bring up Joseph. And I thought, well, perhaps God in his omniscience, perhaps God as in his providence knew in order for us to have and get a good understanding of what was going on with the children of Israel, why they were in Egypt and all that, he chose to share a lot of Joseph's story so that we would know when we got to the book of Exodus what's really going on. Because it starts out, there rose up a Pharaoh that knew not who. Abraham? Not at all. Jacob? Nope. Joseph. And so I thought about that and how important the life of Joseph is to the history of his people. Then secondly, I wrote this down. Simply God's providence and God's provision. If there's one man in all the scripture that lets me know that there's a God in heaven who will never leave his own, who always has his own best interest in mind, surely the character of Joseph comes to mind. Now here's one that I hope that the young people will listen to very, very carefully. Because I believe this is one of the key reasons that God used 14 chapters in the book of Genesis, almost one quarter of the book of beginnings, about one man, his life story. Because God wanted you to know, young man, young lady, God wanted you to know, you can live for Him despite your circumstances, despite your environment, despite how wicked and ungodly your family is. Now listen to me. His brothers hated him. Now I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Despite what, as the world may say, what hand you're dealt, you can live for God. You can make a difference. You can rise to the top. You can follow your dream. You know what Joseph was known as? To his brothers who hated him? That dreamer. Would to God we had some dreamers. Would to God we had some dreamers. But that's what he was known as. I wrote one more thing down here. God will never leave you, nor forsake you. If there's a person's life in all the Bible that truly exemplifies that, there were times over and over again that no doubt Joseph wondered. Now the Bible doesn't say, but he was human, just like you, just like me. He had to wonder, what is going on here? He continued to do right and make good choices, and yet he ended up in bad situations. How many people would have quit long ago? But this man said, nope. Way before Romans 8:28 was written, Joseph was living it. All things work together for the good, for them who love the Lord, and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Joseph truly believed that God had a purpose for his life. Now, young people, listen to me. I'm getting ready to tell you something that may shape the remainder of your life. And it's not because I'm saying it. It's because this book teaches it. When you really believe that God has a plan for you, nothing or no one is going to stop you. Now, I'm going to say that again because I believe it's so important. I don't know that I could make a more important statement to a saved young man and a saved young lady from this pulpit. When you really believe, not because the preacher said it, not because your parents said it, and I ought to say it, and they ought to tell you God has a purpose for your life. But when you accept, yes, God has a purpose for my life, it doesn't matter how much ridicule you face. It doesn't matter how many people hate you. They hated him. His own brothers. We're going to see that in a moment. It doesn't matter what kind of adversity comes your way. He was falsely thrown in prison. It doesn't matter how steep the temptations are. You will allow nothing to snuff out that dream. Nothing. This man had a dream. He had a dream. God gave him purpose. God showed this young man at a young age, you are going to be someone special. I have a purpose for you. You're going to save a nation, even the world. That's how he becomes a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe with all of my heart, that hope, that belief in his soul is what kept Joseph going. You know, so few people anymore really believe that God has a distinct purpose for their life. If we could just see this, brethren, God is no respecter of persons. God's not going to have a special plan for Joseph's life and not have a special plan for your life. Now, his plan for your life may not be what it is for Joseph's life, but God has a special plan for your life. He does. I studied a little bit. I'm not going to go into it. It can kind of get boring in case you're looking at it yourself, about DNA. And the first scientist that came up with DNA and studying the molecules back in the 80s, and it was fascinating to me. I'm fascinated by that kind of stuff because I see God in all of that. See, I see God in science. Science, when you get secular people involved, they try to separate God and science. You cannot do that. I see God in all of that. God is in all of that. God is what makes us individuals and purposefully the way we are, who we are individually, because he has a specific plan for each individual life. And so, young person, I pray that you would leave this building tonight realizing in your soul, God has a purpose for me. God put me here for a reason. And within that purpose, God has given me the resources and God has given me the energy to make that purpose become a reality. I can be everything God purposed me to be if I won't let the dream die. You can't give up on what God's got for you just because you have some rough going. Right? See, Joseph had a dream. And as we shall see in just a moment, there were many, many times in his life that it didn't appear that dream, he was probably thinking, this is not working out the way I thought it was. Can I tell you, that's the way life is sometimes. So young folks, listen to me. There's going to be times in your life that you're going to be thinking, hey, this is not what I planned. This is not the way I thought it was going to happen. It's happened to me. It's happened to this man. It's happened to this man, this man. It happens. It happens. If you live long enough, you're going to have some things come your way that you're going to say, you know what? I didn't see that coming. I didn't think that was what was going to be next. And yet it is. What's next? And you've got a decision to make. Am I going to accept this as God's purpose? And am I going to keep the dream alive? Or am I going to allow this to cause me to quit? If you quit, you will never reach God's fullest potential in your life. How many people do I know as a pastor for these 30-something plus years? And here's a man that's pastored for far, probably longer than many people in this building that are alive that could tell you, and you've seen them, the people that'll quit because they give up on what God had for them because it didn't go step by step the way they thought. See, God has a different plan. And God's plan is always the best plan. It's the best plan. As you shall see from the scripture, this is something how that God said, I did this. I knew what I was doing with Joseph's life. He knows what he's doing with your life too. There was not a doubt in my mind that there were times that Joseph was thinking, not only do I not know what's going on, I wonder if God really knows what's going on in my life. God knew what he was doing all along the way. And God knows what he's doing in your life too. He does. I want you to hold your place here in Genesis 37. And turn, if you would, to Genesis 1. I just want to show you something that really caught my attention. We'll go from Genesis 37. This probably doesn't have a whole lot to do with the message I'm going to bring you, but I just found it fascinating. I read a lot after a man by the name of Matthew Henry. Now, if you've never heard of Matthew Henry, I would say go by his set of commentaries. They're very good. He's in depth. He's thorough, and he's reliable. He's straight, and that's getting hard to find. And as I was reading some information, I don't know where it was. It may have been in Genesis. It may have been another part. But he made a statement about Joseph's life. And within that statement, he alluded to this that I'm going to show you. And I thought, wow, that is something. I've really never noticed it or thought about it. Genesis chapter 1, look if you would in verse number 16. So here's God. By the way, I thought about this when I was reading this. Here's God telling Moses. Now Moses wrote the story of Joseph. And I began to connect some dots. You know, here's a man who maybe heard the story of Joseph from his own mother while he was being lent to her. Now listen to me. In that small window of time that Jochebed had Moses, perhaps Jochebed told Moses the story of Joseph. And then God later on in life said, Moses, I want you to write it. It was very similar to his own story, wasn't it? Same place, very similar circumstances. I just wonder, as Moses was writing, if his mind went back to when he was sitting in mama's lap, or mom was working with him and teaching him and bringing him to that place, if he remembered some of those stories about some of these patriarchs, in particular, Joseph. The Spirit of God has a way of taking us back to places and reminding us of some of our teachings in our younger days. And it's very important. I can't stress to you how important it is to instill these things into your children while they're young. They say within the first 5 or 6 years of a child's life, you're going to mold that little child's character. It's important. It's important. Can't tell you. You say, I'm busy, preacher. Then get unbusy. And get busy teaching your children what this book right here teaches. It will mold their life. Whatever it takes, instill some things into your children. This book right here. Genesis 1:16, Moses is, as God is moving upon him, telling us about God creating things. Now there's something I used to love to do, and I'll get emotional here. It won't mean anything to you. I used to go outside. I don't do this much anymore. I miss it. Don't know why I don't do it. But I, on a regular basis, used to go outside on a starry night and just look up and think, wow. And I would just tell God how powerful he was. You say, well, preacher, God already knows how powerful he is. I wanted God to know that I knew. I wanted God to hear me say, God, you are powerful. I'd look up and I'd see those myriad of stars. And I would just look and I would just keep staring and looking. I would think, wow, wow, I know the person who did that. That's something. It's a wow factor for me. You say, well, it doesn't take much to wow you. Well, okay. But it's humbling. How many stars do you think they are? How many billions of trillions times trillions of trillions of stars do you think they're out there? Can I tell you, he knows every one of them by name. Now, that's the God we're talking about tonight. Can I tell you what God did? Look, if you would, in chapter 1, verse 16. Look at the last five words. He made the stars also. Oh, that's just good stuff to me. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? That's just good stuff. Man, if I'd have made all that, I'd have wrote 15 books about it. Amen. I would have. And God put all of these different balls of fire in the sky, millions and millions of stars. And Moses said, oh, and by the way, you know, he made this big light by day and this other light by night, sun and moon, and he made the stars also. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but that just, that does something for me. But then I put that against five words here, 14 chapters about this man I'm going to talk to you a little bit about tonight. Five words. Go out tonight if it's not cloudy. Look up. Look at all of them. Five words. I'm telling you. Here's what I learned from that. Don't miss this now. Young folks, don't miss this. Okay? I'm just talking to you from my heart tonight. God is far more, far more concerned about people than he is planets. Amen. Write that down, okay? You see all that God created? God is more concerned about you than anything out there that He's made. You look around and you see Saturn and its wonderful ring. You see Jupiter and Mars and Earth. Listen, you see all these things. You look up into galaxies upon galaxies and see stars upon stars. And you remember one thing. The person who made those is far more concerned about you than he is all those things that he made. Amen. All of them. That's what the 14 chapters dedicated to Joseph tells me. God's far more concerned about people than he is planets. He's far more concerned about creating saints than he is stars. Yeah. Amen. And so I don't know. It's not a whole lot to, you know, just kind of does something for me to know that that's my God. Amen. That's my God. Right. And I don't ever want to lose sight of that. I don't ever want to get over that. I don't ever get so mechanical that I just think, well, you know, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm in church, I'm going to heaven, blah, blah. Hey, I don't ever want to get over the fact this God is my God.
Amen. Amen.
I'm in His care.
Yeah.
This God is taking care of me.
Right. Yeah.
That's I don't ever want to forget it. Amen. And young people, I hope you never forget it. I hope you never forget this God has your best interests in mind. He's looking out after you. And as God was with Joseph, He'll be with you. Just as God told the young man Joshua, as I was with Moses, Joshua, so shall I also be with you. Don't forget that, young folks. Don't ever forget it. Parents, just keep telling your children that. Just keep telling your children. Just keep telling them. Because one day they're going to lose their way, and we'll see that. All right, let me give you a few things here. I'm just going to give you a few highlights, okay? Because I spent a little time on the introduction that I really didn't intend to, but it was too good to pass up, all right? Let's look in Genesis 37. In Genesis 37, we have some things about Joseph that I want you to write down, okay? This is including Joseph and his family. Now, every one of us in here, we've seen these little signs, and I can't repeat it verbatim, but you'll know what I'm talking about. It says something about, you know, I don't know, our family's a bunch of nuts or something. It just got some kind of saying about your family being about half crazy. You know what I'm talking about? Those little quaint sayings that people hang up on a plaque or put on a magnet on the refrigerator. And it just kind of says that basically my family's a bunch of nuts. I mean, you know, and that's just the way it is. And so people say, well, you know, my family, we're not a bunch of nuts. Yeah, you are. Amen. Yeah, you are. Yeah, all of our families have some. We just have those missing links. Amen. We just do. And so Joseph was no different. And so young people, listen to me. You may be sitting here, so I'm embarrassed about my family. Don't you be embarrassed about your family. You know that Joseph, though his family has some really crazy things, Joseph had a goodly heritage. He did. And in some ways, he had a godly heritage. I mean, his father was the father of the patriarchs, Jacob. Amen. His great-grandfather was Abraham. Think about that. His grandfather was Isaac, one of the most perfect pictures of Christ in all the Bible. But Joseph had some situations with his family that he could have quit before he got started. You know what happened to his mom? Young people, you listening? You know what happened to this man's mom? Look what the Bible says here. Let's pick up with it in chapter number 1 of chapter 7, verse 31. Chapter 37, verse 1. I'll get out here in a minute. Chapter 37 of Genesis, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These were the generations of Jacob. Joseph being 17 years old. So we're going to pick up here. Okay, 17. Now many of you are right around that age tonight, okay? Now some of you think you are, but no, I said many of you are. Okay, so we're going to deal with that. So here he is, young man, 17. All right, 17 years old. And I want you to just think about what's happened already in this young man's life. Okay, already. This young man was born into, you talking about, we talk about these blended families today. You know, that's a term that we hear about, these blended families. You know what I'm talking about? You've heard that term, blended families. Well, you think that you've got a blended family. This man had, listen, this man's father had two wives, and they were sisters, right?
Yeah.
Rachel, Leah. Now, Leah had 6 children. You following me? Rachel had 2, which was, one was Joseph. But you know what happened to Joseph's mother when Rachel was giving birth to his little brother? The Bible says in Genesis 35 that her labor was so intense that she gave up the ghost. She died. So here's a 17-year-old. Here's a young man that we're picking up with his life. His mom's dead. All right, his mom's dead. And he's got a stepmother who is his aunt. And she's got 6 boys. And this is a motley crew. You ought to study these fellas, okay? And then their handmaids, all right? Bilhah and Zilpah. If you'll notice here in verse number 2, it says, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. The lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah. They each had 2 sons. Now these guys were rounders. I'm telling you, Gad and Asher, Dan and Naphtali, you ought to study. These are rounders now. So here he is out here running a motley crew. And I mean, these guys, I mean, they were rough. So the guy, you know, his mom's dead. His father does something that no parent should ever do. So parents, listen up. His father showed great favoritism, which called resentment to his siblings. Everybody heard what I just said, right? The Bible teaches this right here in this chapter. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. Now Israel, that's Jacob, loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated him. Now parents, you'd be really careful about showing favoritism. It can cause great resentment among your children. Great resentment. So be careful. Joseph and his family. His dad didn't make the wisest of choices about how he felt about him in front of his siblings. His mom is dead. His brothers are a motley crew who hate him. You know how much they hated him? I want you to notice what the scripture says in verse number 4. Look at the latter part of that. Not only did they hate him, it says in verse number 4, they could not speak peaceably unto him. Not would not speak peaceably. They could not. They could not. I mean, every time they got around him, it just festered in their heart and they just spewed out venom on this guy. They couldn't stand him. And then God says, I'm going to use you, young man. And he gave him purpose in life. And he was so excited. He said, yay, I'm going to share this with my family. You know what happens, right? God gave him a dream. God gave him something. He said, I'm going to use you. I'm going to make you something. Now, folks, God does this. God does this to young people. God lets young people know, I've got a plan for your life. We call it God's will. It's God's providence. It's God's sovereignty. You call it as you will. But I'm telling you, there's not a young person sitting in the sound of my voice tonight that God doesn't have a plan for your life. Just like this. And the Bible says in verse number 5, Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. They couldn't get excited. They couldn't get excited about what God had planned for his life. Maybe it was because he saw himself being a leader. Maybe it was because he saw himself serving God with his life and they didn't want to serve God with their life. Maybe it was because he saw himself rising above them. You know what? I found out in life that as long as somebody is kind of lateral to you or maybe below you, you're all right with them. But the moment you get ahead of them, envy sets in. Boy, you got to watch people then. Right? That's when people, and that's what happened to these folks. Notice what the scripture says. It says that he dreamed another dream. He dreamed another dream in verse number 9, and he told it to his brethren. He said, I've dreamed another dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were made obeisance to me. And he told that to his father. And the Bible says that they hated him. In verse number 11, rather, that his brethren envied him. You see that? Envy. You know what James said about envy? He said, where envy and strife is, James 3:17, he said, there's confusion in every evil work. So here's his family. Now, some of you are sitting here tonight, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, preacher, I've got problems. I mean, my family is kind of whacked, and we kind of fit like one of those refrigerator magnets, you know, about wacky families. Well, welcome to planet Earth. Amen. We all have our ways. There's no perfect situations in life. You say, well, I'm embarrassed of my father. I'm embarrassed of my mother. I'm embarrassed of my family. Well, I don't want to be too hard on you now, but shame on you. You ought to be thankful. Because if you're sitting listening to my voice tonight, somebody cared enough about you to have you in church tonight. You say, well, my dad's not perfect. You're not either. Well, if you just knew what my mom, if we just knew about you. See, it works both ways, folks. Now, I'm not being mean to you. So Joseph, he didn't take it that way. What did Joseph do? Joseph said, well, you know, God's given me a purpose, and I'm not going to let my family stop me. Watch what happens here. Chapter 37, look at verse number 5. He dreamed a dream. He told it to his brethren. They hated him. Right? They hated him. Now, a lot of people right here would have said, this thing of having purpose and serving God and following a dream, it's just not worth it. People will hate you. That's going to cause you to quit. You're going to quit because a few people hate you? You're not going to do anything in life then. Because no matter what you do, somebody's not going to like you for it. Listen to me now. No matter what you do, somebody's not going to like it. And he's not going to like it. So you're just going to quit. You know what Joseph did? Look, if you would, in verse number 9. The Bible says he dreamed another dream, and he went right back to his brethren and told it to them. Those guys said, we hate you. We can't even say anything good about you. Here comes that dreamer. That's what they said when they saw him coming. Here comes the dreamer. You say, preacher, they didn't really hate him, did they? They wanted to kill him. Would have had Reuben not showed up. But guess what? God was with him. Amen. God's with you too. You say, preacher, if I try to follow the dream that God's given me, there's going to be some people who will hate me. If I try to do what God's called me to do, there's going to be some people that will not be my friend anymore. There's going to be some people that will ridicule me. They're going to call me names. They're going to tell me I'm goody two-shoes, and they're going to say that I'm just an old fuddy-duddy, and I'm not in, and I'm not it. Well, you don't let that rob you of the dream that God's given you. Don't you let that rob you of what God's purpose for you in your life. You serve God with your life. So he had family. His family had problems. Your family has problems. Don't let your family stop you from serving God. You say, preacher, my family's not perfect. There are no perfect families. Listen, that didn't last long. There was one perfect family, but it didn't last long. Listen to me tonight. This is what we need to understand. God's not looking for perfect people. He knows there are no perfect people. God's looking for humble people. God's looking for willing people. God's looking for some people that'll believe him. That'll believe the dream. That'll say, with God I can do anything. Because there's nothing impossible with God. My God is the God who put those stars up there. That's my God. When I'm praying to him. When I'm asking him to do something, it's him. It's that God that put all those stars up there. That's who I'm praying to. Young people, that's who you're praying to also. It's on a good, clear night in the next few days, when God allows this rain to pass, I want to challenge every young person in the building to ask your parents, can I go outside tonight? Mom, Dad, will you carry me outside? I want to look up in that sky like the preacher said. And when you look up there, I hope that God will just smile down on you and say, I'm here, and I've got a plan for your life, and I want you to fulfill your purpose. I will take care of you. And as I was with Joseph, I will be with you. Family. Number two, future. So the scripture says that he had another dream. Another dream. And in this dream, it expanded. And I want you to notice what it says in verse number 11. It says that his brethren envied him after he told them that dream, but his father done something very unusual. Verse number 11 says, but his father observed the saying. Parents, if you have the special relationship with your children that God intends for you to have, you'll know God's on that boy. God's on that girl. God's on my daughter. God's got a special plan for my daughter. God has a special plan for my son. Every parent ought to realize that. And God will show it to you. God will show you. God will show you, I've got a special plan for your son. See, you're not going to be able to train up a child in the way he should go until you realize God's got a special plan for him. Because that's the way he should go, in that special plan that God has for him. Not in your special plan, in God's special plan. Amen. Future. He dreamed yet another dream. Would to God that some young people at Fellowship Baptist Church dream a dream for God. You say, preacher, you believe in dreams and visions? Oh, listen, I didn't start studying the Bible last week. I know in these last days that God is speaking to us through His Son, through this book right here. But don't, listen, you'll never convince me that God won't birth something in a young man or a young lady's heart that'll be just as real to them. Just as real to them. He'll do it in your life too, ma'am. Sir, listen to me, brother. He'll do it to you too. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had some young people to dream some big dreams for God? Amen. And say, I believe God's going to call me to preach. What a big dream. That's wonderful. I believe God's going to send me to a mission field. That's wonderful. I believe God's going to have me drive a church bus. What a wonderful thing. I believe God's going to have me to be a Sunday school teacher, and I'm going to impact as many of the next generation that I can. That's wonderful. Dream some big things for God. Everybody's dreaming big dreams for their self. Right? God, deliver us from that. What do you want to be when you grow up? I would to God that somebody on these shows that ask that question would just, some young person would have whatever it took and say, the fortitude to say, I'm going to be like Jesus because I'm saved and God's conforming me to the image of His Son. What do you want to be when you grow up? Just like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Dream some big dreams. How's that going to happen? It's going to happen when Brother David Thompson dreams big dreams for the missions program. Amen. When Brother David Brooks dreams some big dreams for the bus ministry. When Brother David, got a bunch of Davids, amen. Brother David Oliver, Brother Alan Merriman say, got a big dream for our youth here. And Pastor BJ, Brother BJ says, got a big dream for the children's ministries here. You know what's going to help our young people catch a glimpse? Dream big dreams when we dream big dreams. When their pastor, when I say, you know what, we can do this with God's help. God wants us to do great mighty things. God wants us to reach a community. God wants us to reach a world. God wants us to impact the next generation. Now, as long as we're dreaming small dreams, it's not going to, listen, we're not going to convince the young people that they need to big, that they need to dream big dreams. Right? Amen. Joseph dreamed big dreams. He dreamed about a future. God showed him in his dream. I don't have time to go into it because I want to finish here, but listen, God showed him in his dream. You know what God showed him? You're going to be a leader someday, son. Going to use you. There's going to be people making obeisance to you. I'm going to use you. I don't think Joseph had any idea how and to what extent God was going to use him, but I believe he knew God was going to use him. That's what kept the dream alive. They threw him in a pit. His own brothers. You know how ruthless, where's Mike Melfield? You know how ruthless these guys were, Mike? They sit down and ate their lunch. Other brother. Look, I think it's verse 25 in chapter 37. I think it's verse 25. I may be wrong, but let's see. Now, here it is. So in chapter 27, look at verse number 35. Verse 24 says, they took him and they cast him in a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Now, they would have killed him, but Reuben came along and said, no, we're not going to kill him. They threw him in that pit. And then verse 25 says, after they threw him in a pit, now their brother. After they threw him in a pit, the Bible says they sat down to eat bread. That's pretty ruthless. And then they sold him to this passing caravan of Ishmaelites, Midianites. Read it. You know why? Because God was with him. You say, how could that be? I want to show you something. And this may be where I close. But I want you to get this lesson. This is a life lesson, okay? It's a life lesson. In my life, I've lost my way. It's apt to happen again. I don't want to. See, sometimes we try to act like we've got it all together and we have all of our, you know, ducks in a row. I mean, I'm going to use all these, you know, metaphors, ducks in a row and I's dotted and T's crossed and P's and Q's and all that stuff. Listen to me. At our very best, we need God in everything. And I can lose my way. But don't sit there and look at me like you couldn't lose your way, because you could lose your way too. Just a moment's time. Do you notice what happened to Joseph? Can I show you something? So, Joseph's at home with Dad, and Dad calls him and says, after his brothers envied him and they went out into the field, his dad called him and said, Joseph, look here in verse number 13. He said, Israel, in chapter 37, verse 13, he said, Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out to the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And I want you to notice this next verse here. I've read this story for years, and just recently I just really picked up on this. A certain man found him. I really never noticed that before. I'd always just thought, well, you know, Joseph sent him, and it just shows our fallen minds. We just read past something and not even really pay attention to it. And he just sent Joseph out to see the brethren. But watch this. God inserted this. And the Bible says in verse 15, a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. You know what? He lost his way. He knew about what he was supposed to be doing, but he didn't really know what he was exactly supposed to be doing. His dad sent him to a location, but he didn't know the exacts, the specifics. He lost his way. You ever lost your way in life? Oh, preacher, I got it together. Okay. You can lose your way. You can lose your way. What's God want me to learn from this? Notice what happened here. The Bible says, when that man found him wandering in the field, the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? Verse 16, he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. He found his way. What happened there? The boy shouldn't have found his way. When he got there, they took him and threw him in a pit, sold him to a bunch of slaves. You know why? Because God was with him. So that was God's plan for his life. That was God's plan for his life. It was. What happened there? What happened right there? The same thing that happens to you and me. Sometimes we lose our way. But every time I've lost my way in life, God has always had someone there to redirect me. I've said it from this pulpit over the years many, many times. I thank God for the people God has put in the pathway of my life to get me from where I was to where I am. I didn't get here alone, brethren, and you didn't either. God always has someone. It may be someone without a name, Verse 15, look at it again. A certain man. Here's a guy just out in the field. And he helps redirect Joseph. You say, yeah, but he sent him to his brethren. Yeah, so God could get him to Egypt and get him where he wanted him. So I want you to learn this, okay? God will always have someone. Always. If you will follow God's will, He will always have someone that will redirect you when you get off track. Always. Maybe a preacher. Maybe this preacher. Maybe your Sunday school teacher. Maybe your missions director, your youth director. Maybe your bus driver, your bus captain. Maybe your dad. Maybe your mom. Maybe a stranger. Maybe a certain man. But God will always have someone to redirect you. Now, why did God do all this? I want you to underline something, and I'll close with this. Chapter 39. I want you to underline something. This is a whole message, but I'm just going to have you to underline three or four things here. Chapter 39, are you in verse number 2? Chapter 39, verse number 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? Joseph kept a clean account with God. He did. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. He was sold in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And guess what? His master saw that the Lord was with him. I wonder if people see that with me, with you. Young folks, do people at the schoolhouse see that God's with you? Do they? Do people at the workplace, brethren, do they see that God's with you? Do people in the community see that God's with us? Joseph had that testimony, not just with Stephen. Even among the lost, even among the elite. The Bible says in verse number 3 that his master saw that the Lord was with him. Look at verse number 21 of chapter 39. But the Lord was with Joseph. I think God's trying to tell us something. Look at verse 23 of chapter number 39. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. Over and over again, God wants us to know, I'm with Joseph. I'm with Joseph. And God will be with you too. He will. Now there's much more. I have much more. But I'm going to close right there. Okay? I spent some time on the introduction. I'm going to take that as God wanted me to. And we'll look at some of those. I thought about doing just a study on Joseph. It's just amazing. You begin to look at these things and it just keeps opening up and opening up and opening up, and you have to almost reel it back in just to stay on course. So what are our takeaways from this? Well, that the Lord was with Joseph, and He'll be with you too. And that regardless of your circumstances, whether it be your family, whether it be your friends, remember the butler? Oh, I won't forget you. You know, oh yeah. Be sure to tell them now when you get out. Oh, I'll tell them. Well, you can count on me. There's going to be some folks now. Listen to me, young people. They're going to be like that chief butler. You can count on me, buddy. Well, I'll put in a word for you. Yeah, He forgot him. So whether it's family, friends, frustrations, some things are going to try to squelch the dream, the purpose that God has for your life. Well, I've been talking to the young people. Young people, do you have a purpose? Do you? You got any big dreams for God? What are you planning on doing this summer? Well, I'm just going to hang out and, chill. Really? That doesn't sound like a very good purpose to me. Why don't you dream some big dreams for God? Why don't you write some names down on a piece of paper and say, I'm going to pray for these people, and I'm going to pray that God would do a work in their heart. Or I'm going to go to these people and I'm going to tell them what Jesus is doing in my life or what He's done in my life. You say, yeah, preacher, I believe the young people ought to do it. What about you? What kind of dreams have you dreamt lately? You have a vision? You know, where there is no vision, people perish. Let's all stand. Who's a country boy in here? Raise your hand. I need a country boy. Raise your hand real high. I'm serious now. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to ask you a question because I've researched this. We got some guy. Are there any country boys in Michigan? Junior's country is a green bean. Brother, amen. Brother Faulkner's country boy. Who else is country boy? Raise your hand, country boy. Brother, okay, got a few country boys. Let me ask y'all a question. I'm serious now. I read something I need to know, okay? I didn't need to know this. I read that there are certain times of the year that you need to stay out of the mountains because snakes are shedding their skin. Now, I've worked in pest control for many years, and I know some things about snakes. I know I don't want to be around them, among some other things. And that when snakes are shedding, they get very skittish. And one of the purposes is because their eyesight begins to play tricks on them. Sometimes they can even be almost blind or blurred. And they will strike, it said, what I read, they will strike at about anything because their vision has been dulled or completely zapped. Is that right? I need this for a yes or this for a no. I get a yes here. Anybody know? Yes? Okay, we got people saying emphatically. Yes, okay. All right, so this is what I thought about when I read that. I thought, you know, that's what it is. That's it. That's why churches are fighting like cats and dogs. They have no vision. I'm serious. They're striking at everything. Anyway, they're just striking because they're just spewing venom. Just striking, man. We just got rid of some venom. So we're just going to strike. You know why? They've lost their vision. Brethren, let's not lose our vision. God, help me as your pastor. I want to maintain a sharp vision for this ministry. And I pray that if I can't do that, God would just say, son, step aside and get somebody in there with a vision for the next generation and for the years to come. And stay busy about my business until I come again. Amen, church? I'm serious. Because if we don't keep a sharp vision, we're going to be like those snakes when they're shedding. We're going to be striking at one another like a bunch of wild snakes, or wild serpents. We don't want that, do we? Well, we come to church and this one over here is talking about that one. This one's talking about that one. Well, did you hear? Yeah, I heard about you. Hey, man, you want to confess it? Right? So let's keep a vision now. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Young people dream dreams. Believe God can do great things with you. You want God to do something great with you? I believe you do. Let's bow our heads together. Say, preacher, you didn't have much of an outline. Well, sometimes I just feel like God wants me just to speak from my heart. I speak from my heart every time, even when I have an outline. But tonight I just wanted to just kind of talk to you.